Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 118. Holy Spirit, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Kindle every high desire. Cleanse my thought in thy pure fire. Hymn number 118. Michael from California will read from the scriptures.
The Holy Bible, Romans. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our
Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 86. God's glory is a wondrous thing, most strange in all its ways, and of all things on earth, least like what men agree to praise. And of all things on earth, least like what men agree to praise. Hymn number 86.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we talk about this week's lesson, other topics that need to be covered, and learn to practice better in our daily lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you'd like to hear it again, or if you missed it, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and it will also be available on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. And that Sunday school has its own dedicated teleconference number so that children around the world can attend. And many of our Sunday school students do not live in the area, but attend via telephone. That means that if you don't live in the area, but you have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings, lives made much, much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. And for all of our services and meetings, we do have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you can come in person, you can also bring the whole family. We have 21 different websites, all in different languages. And each one of those websites contains the very finest Christian Science literature. And every one of our websites offers what it offers free of charge. You don't have to pay a thing or join anything to get the benefit of any one of our websites. This is our worldwide mission, to spread the healing gospel of Christian Science around the world. And we are very grateful that so many of you have found one or more of our websites and have found the healing truth of Christian Science. I'd like to point out now one article that's featured on our English language website, very good article, by Reverend G.A. Kratzer, entitled Mortals and Immortals, which happens to be the subject of this week's lesson. And I have one more announcement. Our next Bible study is going to be Saturday, November 29th. Not next Saturday, but the following Saturday, right after Thanksgiving. And speaking of Thanksgiving, remember we are going to have our Thanksgiving service at 10 a.m., or is 11 a.m.? Yes, thank you. 11 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 27th. So please mark your calendars and join us for a lovely service. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes those of you who are listening and participating from around the world. Now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from miscellaneous writings by Mary Baker Eddy, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Lisa from Ohio.
Page 436. I desire to make known the great good I have received by reading the blessed book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. 4 years have now passed since I began to read it. It has been my only healer and teacher, as I never have had an opportunity to go through a class. But I find that the Spirit of Truth will teach us all things if we will but practice well what we know. After 2 years and a half of study, I thought, as many beginners think, that I had traveled over the worst part of this narrow path. Soon after, it came about that I was separated from everyone who had ever heard of Christian Science. And as I lived in the country, no one came to visit me for about 8 months. At first, I thought the Lord had wrought a great evil. I had no one to talk to, but would take my science and health every morning before going about my work and read. Yet mortal mind would say, "You can do no good with no one to talk with." At last, one morning after listening to the serpent's voice, I looked out at the little wild flowers as they waved to and fro. They seemed to be a living voice, and this is what they said: "On earth peace, goodwill toward men." There was also a mockingbird that would sit on the house and sing. For the first time, I realized that divine love was the only friend I needed. Soon after, I sent the journal to my nearest neighbor by her little son who came to play with my children. Afterwards, she told me that when she began to read it, she said to the family, "God has sent this book to me." Calling to see her one evening, I found her suffering from heart disease. I began talking to her about Christian Science, and in less than an hour, she declared herself healed. She is today a happy woman. I would say to all suffering ones that if you will buy a copy of this wonderful book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by the Reverend Mary Baker Eddy, and study it and practice its teachings, you will find it a pearl of great price. Mrs. Fanny Meeks, Bells, Grayson County, Texas.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import, and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 14 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Mortals and Immortals. The golden text is from John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The responsive reading, 1 Corinthians. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. Dede from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible. John. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. John. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Matthew. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Galatians. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. In Christian Science, the true man is governed by God, by good, not evil, and is therefore not a mortal, but an immortal. Jesus had taught his disciples the science of this proof. Immortal man was and is God's image or idea, even the infinite expression of infinite mind. And immortal man is coexistent and co-eternal with that mind. God creates and governs the universe, including man. The universe is filled with spiritual ideas, which he evolves, and they are obedient to the mind that makes them. Mortal mind would transform the spiritual into the material, and then recover man's original self in order to escape from the mortality of this error. Mortals are not like immortals, created in God's own image. But infinite spirit being all, mortal consciousness will at last yield to the scientific fact and disappear, and the real sense of being, perfect and forever intact, will appear. Human birth, growth, maturity, and decay are as the grass springing from the soil with beautiful green blades, afterwards to wither and return to its native nothingness. This mortal seeming is temporal. It never merges into immortal being, but finally disappears. And immortal man, spiritual and eternal, is found to be the real man. Mortals are the counterfeits of immortals. They are the children of the wicked one, or the one evil, which declares that man begins in dust, or is a material embryo. In divine science, God and the real man are inseparable as divine principle and idea. God is the principle of man, and man is the idea of God. Hence, man is not mortal nor material. Mortals will disappear, and immortals, or the children of God, will appear as the only and eternal verities of man. Mortals are not fallen children of God. They never had a perfect state of being, which may subsequently be regained. They were, from the beginning of mortal history, conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity. Mortality is finally swallowed up in immortality. Sin, sickness, and death must disappear to give place to the facts which belong to immortal man. When speaking of God's children, not the children of men, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That is, truth and love reign in the real man, showing that man in God's image is unfallen and eternal. Whatever is material is mortal. To the five corporeal senses, man appears to be matter and mind united. But Christian science reveals man as the idea of God and declares the corporeal senses to be mortal and erring illusions. Divine science shows it to be impossible that a material body, though interwoven with matter's highest stratum, misnamed mind, should be man, the genuine and perfect man, the immortal idea of being, indestructible and eternal. Were it otherwise, man would be annihilated. Beauty, as well as truth, is eternal, but the beauty of material things passes away, fading and fleeting as mortal belief. Custom, education, and fashion form the transient standards of mortals. Immortality, exempt from age or decay, has a glory of its own, the radiance of soul. Immortal men and women are models of spiritual sense, drawn by perfect mind and reflecting those higher conceptions of loveliness which transcend all material sense. Progress is born of experience. It is the ripening of mortal man, through which the mortal is dropped for the immortal. Either here or hereafter, suffering or science must destroy all illusions regarding life and mind, and regenerate material sense and self. The old man with his deeds must be put off. Nothing sensual or sinful is immortal. The death of a false material sense and of sin, not the death of organic matter, is what reveals man and life, harmonious, real, and eternal. Whether mortals will learn this sooner or later, and how long they will suffer the pangs of destruction, depends upon the tenacity of error. The knowledge obtained from the corporeal senses leads to sin and death. When the evidence of spirit and matter, truth and error, seems to commingle, it rests upon foundations which time is wearing away. The great spiritual fact must be brought out that man is, not shall be, perfect and immortal. We must hold forever the consciousness of existence, and sooner or later, through Christ and Christian Science, we must master sin and death. The evidence of man's immortality will become more apparent as material beliefs are given up and the immortal facts of being are admitted. The sinless joy, the perfect harmony and immortality of life, possessing unlimited divine beauty and goodness, without a single bodily pleasure or pain, constitutes the only veritable, indestructible man whose being is spiritual. This state of existence is scientific and intact, a perfection discernible only by those who have the final understanding of Christ in divine science. Death can never hasten this state of existence, for death must be overcome, not submitted to, before immortality appears. Harmonious and immortal man has existed forever and is always beyond and above the mortal illusion of any life, substance, and intelligence as existent in matter. This statement is based on fact, not fable. The science of being reveals man as perfect, even as the Father is perfect, because the soul or mind of the spiritual man is God, the divine principle of all being, and because this real man is governed by soul instead of sense, by the law of spirit, not by the so-called laws of matter. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and His idea. Allow nothing but His likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious, as life eternally is, can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. Let Christian Science, instead of corporeal sense, support your understanding of being, and this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace mortality with immortality, and silence discord with harmony.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 34. Christ comes again with holy power to lift our blinded eyes to see. The sick are healed, the sinner blessed, as on that eve in Galilee. Hymn number 34.
Sons and daughters, come down to the living. hear that sweet forgiveness song. Come join the Jesus people. This is where the heart belongs.
Let's now sing hymn number 36, Church of the Ever-Living God, the Father's Gracious Choice. Amid the voices of this earth, how mighty is thy voice. Hymn number 36.
From the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the chorales of passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Matthew, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen.